The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The idea that no one is looking at the model presented by Mayor Rudy Giuliani in New York, which was very simple. If you throw a rock, you're arrested. If you throw a bottle, you're arrested. And all of a sudden, New York was, and it literally was almost overnight, New York became safe.
The John McCullough Show, weekday evenings at 6 on The Patriot.
I got just one life in a world that keeps on pushing me around, but I'll stand my ground.
Good evening and welcome to Union Members Radio. I am your host, James Dennis, and I'm here with my co-host, Keith Combs. What's happening, Keith?
Hey, how's it going, James?
Pretty good.
Good Sunday evening to everyone.
Good rainy Sunday. This program is all about our unions, our labor, and our community. Check out our website at unionmembersradio.com. This show is sponsored by Communications Workers of America. Keith, what's going on, man?
There is a whole lot going on in the world today, James. Yeah. Let's see how much we can talk about today.
And I am trying to go live on Labor Vision, the face page Labor Vision. I'm trying to go live on it now to make sure we can be seen. So hopefully all this stuff is hooked up right and it's doing what it's supposed to do. If not, ooh, bah, humbah. Can't ever get in here and get it to do the right thing, right?
That's right. There's always something. And when it rains, it pours.
Yes, absolutely, my brother. Absolutely. And I don't have this... video right on here, but you know what? We're not going to kind of worry about it just yet. I'm going to just kind of play with it a little bit now. Hey, Keith, what's going on with you this week, my brother?
There's a lot going on. We're trying to get things organized where maybe we can go out and participate with UAW. There's so much. Our September was full of things, and now our October is filling up very quickly, too. And
wow.
We're going to be in Las Vegas for the last week of October.
Really?
Yes, it's our crafts where we get together and do some training all over the country. So everyone meets in Las Vegas every second year.
All right, so how long are you going to be in Vegas?
For a week.
Wow. Are you going to be here next week?
I will be here next week.
Okay, yes. Cool. You had me scared there for a minute.
I will be here next week. I won't abandon you that quickly.
I was like, oh no, I gotta get somebody to come in and help me out, right?
No, it's October the 25th. That week I'll be in Vegas.
Got you. Oh, you know what? The number is 800-923-9385. 800-923-9385. And I'm sitting here looking to see if I got any texts. Trying to get somebody from UAW to give me a call so that we can talk about this doggone UAW strike. Because you heard that they got the health care back.
I did. I thought that was a great thing. That was a big thing that a lot of us, a lot of the unions that were trying to assist and help and support were saying that that was done completely wrong. And that was something that the company needed to make sure that they corrected. I'm very happy that happened.
Yeah. Well, you know what's really, I'm wondering how long, because they are in, what, day 14?
Yes. And how much longer, you know, are those families going to be able to withstand this strike? Unfortunately, you know, a strike is always the last resort. You got to do what you got to do, but it comes with a burden.
Yeah, it comes with a huge burden. And I don't think people really realize the sacrifice.
Yes.
Because keep in mind, do you remember the newspaper strike?
I do remember the newspaper strike. You know, our main office with the newspaper, their office is right behind our main office there on 4th
really?
Street. Yeah. So we were even assisting in that. We were supporting that as well.
Well, yeah. I remember my father was part of Local 909.
Yeah.
and he didn't buy. I think he just started buying a newspaper.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah,
real talk.
Yeah, I still have a little bit of contention when I go to buy a paper, which I very seldom do. But you know, that whole deal didn't go down good, so it left a bad taste in many union people
mouths.
Yeah,
and I think we got somebody on the line. Caller, you're on.
Yes, this is Katina Dennis calling in from Local 163.
UAW. Hey, how you doing today?
Yes. Good. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Hey, what's going on out there with you all? What's the people's mood? What's the, you know, when y'all walking?
Well, this is the third week, and so it's kind of hitting home because this is the week where we don't get a check, where we're not getting paid. So... we're actually out here. We didn't get paid Friday, but we're supposed to get our strike pay on tomorrow, which is $250.
Wow.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot different than what a regular paycheck looks
like. Yeah. When you're thinking like five times that in a week and you're getting that for once, yeah, that's a difference, a big difference.
So is that $250 before taxes?
Yep, it's before tax. Well, what they doing is they giving us the $250. This is what I was told, and we have to claim the taxes on it at the end of the year.
Okay, so, that's cool. That's cool. We have to pay taxes.
So
on that
we
later.
Get the actual. Yeah, so we get the $250, but still, it's $250, $250. Yes.
So, like when you're out there and you're and you all are walking around. What's the feeling? Are they scared? Are any of the people trying to go back?
Nobody's trying to cross the picket line.
Cool.
Nope. But everybody is. It's some people that are fearful. Some people that are, you know, they thought this would just last a week, or it's a lot of people that may have taken it for granted. We're not saying we took it for granted, but I mean, you just naturally think, oh, we'll be back to work. Like it's not a big deal.
Yeah,
we take it for a week, but. Yeah, it's week three now. So this is really the reality. Everybody's staying strong. Everybody's, you know, still doing their duty, still showing up. We're even having something at our union hall. I believe tomorrow night we're going to have like a game night to have like a just to keep the morale up and just to motivate everybody. So that's what we're doing tomorrow night. Yeah, starting at 5:00, I believe, just to keep the morale. But everybody's still been supportive. Shout out to a lot of businesses that they've given discounts. They've given food. Just everybody.
Wow.
The mayor of Westland came to our line the other day, brought food from Lee's Chicken. Him and his crew of people brought chicken to the line. So, yeah, it's been very good. Like, everybody has been very supportive. People from all kind of restaurants. They give us discounts, if not stuff for free. They bring food to the line. I mean, we have a list of them. And I said, after all of this is over, I really want to shout them out. Like, I'm really going to support. Like the Imagine Theater, they're doing $5 movie passes all day long, any movie for UAW members. So for General Motors, of course, you have to show your ID. But, yeah, it's been very good.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And,
yeah,
of course, this is Detroit, Michigan, and great union town. That's what should happen.
Yeah.
We should support our union brothers and sisters that are out there on the picket line. UAW is a big part of what goes on here in Michigan, and we need to go out and support our brothers and sisters. So, Katina, this is Keith. So people actually have to walk the picket line to get that $250, correct?
Oh, you absolutely do. I'm a strike captain at my local, and so there is a sign-in sheet. Everything is designated with your name on it and the day that you're supposed to do your time, and you actually have to sign in, and we actually have to take those back to the union hall, in order to get those. Now, our local, we only have to do 4 hours a week, but there are some that they don't have as many people, so they have to do 8 hours. They may have to do more hours. So a lot of people are going helping them. Like, we'll go to a lot of different locals. Like Warren, they don't have a lot of people. So I know some people from our local have been over there. So So, yeah, we're just kind of pitching in everywhere we can.
Okay, that's great. I know a lot of the other union presidents around the area, me included, have been writing letters to the UAW to show our support. And most of us were saying how we felt it was a real negative thing that the company took away the health care. We're glad, James and I were talking about it before the show. We're glad to hear that they reinstated the health care, even though there hasn't been a real discussion on how long that's going to stay in place, has there?
Well, from what I saw, because I believe someone raised that question to say because it was supposed to stop technically October 1st anyway, but because they stopped it early, to my understanding, it's supposed to stay on, but I don't know. That hasn't been confirmed by General Motors, anybody from the UAW per se. So I don't know. But the last information that I received or saw, it stated that it should remain on. So we'll see.
Good. We're certainly hoping that happens.
Yes.
Well, you know what? But see, the thing is, we have to look at is this. For GM to reinstate that insurance, that's kind of a positive that they're moving in the right direction, because if GM really wanted to be, nasty about it, they wouldn't have reinstated it.
Yeah, but they took it up earlier than they should have. It's already been paid, so it should have been paid up for the month at least.
Absolutely.
Right. So
yeah, they did that out of spite.
Absolutely.
But what we're hearing is that the main thing on the table now is that they're really the temporary workers. And this is my thing. You know, I don't want anybody to lose their job, but if you don't want to hire the temps, then don't have them in the plant.
Right.
Let's work with what we have.
Right.
I want everybody to have a job. I want them to be able to get hired. But you can't keep pimping them and having them work. Like, okay, go here, work here.
Right.
Oh, we bumping you from first shift to second shift. And then they have priority kind of over us a little bit as far as jobs are concerned, because they'll place those temps in certain jobs in certain areas because of, they'll say, the attendance or that they're filling certain summer help or whatever. And so you can't get that job or get in that particular department because it's not an opening, because even though they're the lowest person there and they're a temporary person, you can't bump them. So it's like they have rights like that, but then you don't want to hire them. So either hire them or just let's work with what we got. I don't want them to lose out on the job. I want everybody to have a job.
You want them to get hired.
Don't pimp them.
Right.
Yeah, you want them to get hired. That's the bottom line. You want them to get hired.
Yeah.
And the thing is, they don't get profit sharing, do they?
No, they don't.
See,
nope.
And that's messed up.
They don't have seniority. So if they did hire them, whatever hire date, if, like, say we go back to work and they say we're hiring all the temps, if it's October 1st, that's the day their seniority starts. It's October 1st of 2009, whenever that is. And this is just hypothetically speaking. So I'm not saying that this is what anybody said or anything. This is just a hypothetical scenario.
Unless they negotiate something different. If they negotiate something different with their seniority.
That's the policy. That's the language currently now.
Nine times out of ten, they're not going to give them any back pay. They're probably just like, we're just going to hire them, and it's going to start from this date.
Oh, yeah, because they feel like that's a huge plus for them to hire them.
Absolutely. Yep.
Well, yeah, that ain't, that's just them making profit.
It's ridiculous.
That's just them making profit. I mean, and here's the bad part. If the temporary workers were bad workers, they wouldn't be there as long as they are. Because I've heard some people got 6 years, 7 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
I talked to somebody at Chrysler that's got 12 years and they're a temporary.
Oh, that's terrible.
12 years.
Now, it was a girl. We did a hiring at our plant of temporary workers maybe a couple years ago. They did hire some. But she had been back to GM for 12 years. Where they would call her back, and then her time would basically start over. So when she got hired, I believe it was in 2016, that's when her seniority started. She didn't get any back. I mean, she had been coming back and helping them out for 12 years, and her seniority is whatever, March of 2016.
Wow.
So it's like,
Well,
I don't know.
The company needs to do the right thing. We did. All remember that when President Obama and other lawmakers saved the UAW, it was the backs of the
workers. You mean the GM?
They saved GM.
GM, right.
Saved Chrysler as well.
Yeah. Yep.
But,
yep.
But
yep.
It was
yep.
the backs of union members
there
that
you
helped
go.
Them to make it through.
Yep.
And now that you, yeah. now that GM and Chrysler is strong again, they need to make it right with those employees that actually went to back to help them.
Absolutely. That's where the Tier 2 system started.
Absolutely.
In that little negotiation of the 2009 down crash of the plants. That's what one of the big negotiations was, where, well, we'll bring this two-tier system in. That's how that all started and kind of messed up everything the way it is now. That's where it started. That's one of the big negotiations they did for a plant that I used to work for. And so, yeah. I kind of messed a lot of stuff up, but that was in their negotiation.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
Jeez. Well, so you're saying everybody's staying strong. Everybody, what can the public do to help you guys out?
Just remain positive and just keep us in your prayers. And that's it. Just to stay positive at this point. If you want to throw some discounts our way, we appreciate it. If not, we still appreciate it, you know? Hey.
Now, what about other unions? You're saying the one that was lacking was 9 Mile and Mile? Because I know that's where they've been sending us to. That's what,
160?
That's 909, isn't it?
Yep, local 909, Warren Transmission.
That's 909?
Yeah.
All right, so that's what we got to So, hey, all unions out there, if you can help out, y'all running 3 shifts. So you can go out there at any time of the night or
anytime.
The day. Right?
Yes, there has to be coverage all 24 hours a day, because you know that can be their scheme of things to get somebody in there. So we got to cover those gates 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Yep.
Cool. And you are local 163, right?
163 Romulus Engine.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool. All right. Well, hey, Katina, thanks for calling in. And hey, we're going to leave 7 o'clock open next week for you guys to call in. Anybody, any one of you all can call in. If you want to get your president to call in, or any one of the chairs to call in, or you can call back 7 o'clock. We're going to remain that time slot open straight up for UAW, because Union Members Radio is supporting you as many ways as we can. And they can go to the Facebook page, Labor Vision. Tell them to go to Labor Vision and like that page, and you know, just watch out for us. Okay.
All right. Appreciate
all right.
it.
Thanks,
Thank
Katina. Have a good one now. All right, and we'll be back with more Union Members Radio.
Communication is the key to building any business. FM 101.5 and AM 1400, The Patriot, can be your communication key. The microphone that voices your business message from the stage of your own radio show, defining you as the expert in your line of work. The theater that brings your brand to a solid awareness, place, and position in the vast community of customers' listening ears in Metro Detroit. The broadcast professionals here will help your show develop, building you, your company, and your customer base with and through an affordable on-air and online media distribution. Get to PatriotDetroit.com. Click Contact Us at the bottom of the page. PatriotDetroit.com. Contact us. Do so, and then look for a call from our sales manager, Brad Smith. Then build your business with your own radio show on FM 101.5, AM 1400, The Patriot.
This is John McCullough, and I'm joining forces with Online Trading Academy to bring you a remote broadcast and a special 90-minute free workshop on Thursday, October 17th at 6. See what the pros are doing to profit and protect their wealth. Not only registered attendees are invited to the broadcast, so you're going to want to register now. But it's all free, and I really look forward to meeting you. Space is limited, so call right now. Get your seats by calling 888-420-9536. That's 888-420-9536. See you there. All you gotta do to repeat after me.
All right, welcome back to Union Members Radio. The phone number is 800-923-9385, 800-923-9385. Welcome to Union Members Radio. And don't forget to like us at on Facebook, Union Members Radio on Facebook, and Labor Vision on Facebook. And also our counterpartner, American Workers with an S, First, on Facebook as well. If you can like those three Facebook pages, that'd be great. Twitter handle for me is C Labor Vision. Excuse me. It is C-S-E-E Labor Vision. C Labor Vision is the Twitter page. Keith, what's happening with you, man?
Nothing much, James. I'm happy to be here. I would like to encourage all our members and all union locals to give us a call. If you got something on your mind you want to talk about, give us a call. Let's talk.
Right. Now, I also want to encourage all union members to support the UAW because, you know, this is kind of really important. This is not kind of, it is very, very important.
It is important.
Because they, if this fails, it's not going to be good for us.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just be frank and honest. I mean, I'm not saying that the UAW is supposed to get everything that they are asking for, every single, I want them to.
Yes.
But I don't need it to be a total failure.
No, we never wanted to leave the table with a total favor. You know, we don't want to see them happen yet. GM has come back. They are strong again, and they need to make it right with those who have helped them to be strong again. I just think that those union members and their families deserve better than what they're currently receiving.
Right, and I would like to go out and buy a new GM car, right?
So yeah, me too.
I'm holding the brakes on that one. I'm, you know, it might, and they, I don't know if we, Ford is next. Ford, I think Ford is next to be negotiating.
I think Ford is next as well.
Yeah, so you got Ford, and then you got Chrysler after that. So, right. I mean, one of the big things that I've heard is it's the plants going overseas.
Yeah, I think that's a biggie too. You know. You know, for a company like UAW and a union like UAW and a company like General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler, those vehicles should be made here in this country. You know, how can we stay America strong if we're sending the vehicles production over to other countries to be produced at a cheaper price? You know, that doesn't sound like you're being union friendly there.
But the cars really aren't cheaper because we don't get the brake on it.
No, but the company gets the brake on it.
Yeah, the company gets the brake on it. But the car, I mean, if you take, what is the Ford Fusion, I think they were making some of them here and some of them in Mexico, most of them in Mexico. But the ones that was made in Mexico, they weren't cheaper than the ones that was made here.
Yeah.
So, you know, the discount doesn't come back to us at
that
all.
That makes us feel here, like, at least makes me feel, then why are we doing it?
Right, right. But then you got Kia and Honda and Toyota that's got company down south. They're non-union.
Absolutely.
So just to be real about it. And they're able to make their cars here.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's impossible to make cars here. Sort of like the bicycles. When they started doing bicycles you know, they started sending them to Japan and China or whatever, making them overseas. And Cannondale was the last one to do it.
Yeah.
And what was amazing to me was even though the bike went overseas, it did not get cheaper.
Right.
So the bike was the same price it was when it was U.S. made. So I don't know. It doesn't seem like it works out for us for it to be overseas.
Yeah, it doesn't work out for us. I mean, we know for sure that they're not paying those workers the same wage that they're paying workers that work here in the United States.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to take Matt from Toledo, and I think Matt is our next guest. Is this Matt Bell?
This is, yes.
Hey, my brother, how you doing today?
I'm doing really well, man. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Hey, man, thanks for calling in for us. Hey, Matt, can I get you to, let me ask my producer, can we do two calls at one time?
Yeah, that's not a problem.
Okay. Hey, Matt, we got one of our callers called in at the same time you did. Before we get into what we're going to talk about with you, let's get. Okay. So, Matt, I'm going to put you on. We're going to put you on hold, and I'm going to pull JJ, and then we're going to come right back to you. Okay.
No worries. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Matt. Just hold on. JJ, you're on.
Well, I just I'm listening to the show. I was following up and listening to the great Ron Cameron doing sports and stuff like that. And I'm listening to some stuff, and you kind of seemed irritated that all GM cared about was its profit. I just need to remind you, the only purpose of any corporation
is to make profit.
Insurance company or auto manufacturer is to realize a profit for its shareholders. It has no other reason to be in business. So I know it sounds cold and careless, but it does. And as far as General Motors goes and stuff like that, that, you know, that you guys took the hit and helped out GM going back, I believe that General Motors still owes the U.S. Treasury around $14 billion.
Whoa. Well, I tell you what, J.J., we got our next guest on, but I did not want to leave you just hanging. Can you call back next hour and we can finish this conversation?
Yeah, could you make some good points that we would like
to talk
about?
We want
something else.
But if not, man, JJ, you're part of our family. Thank you for calling in. We really appreciate it, man, all right? Thanks. Matt.
Yes, sir, I'm here.
All right. Yeah, we got you, man. Hey, Matt, we're sorry about that, man. We get these calls. They start coming in, but we didn't want calls holding on while we talked to you about the great the Midwest Recovery Center that you guys got?
Yeah, that's it.
All right, man. I tell you what, Matt Bell, talk about it. Let's go.
Well, grateful to be here, and thank you for having us. There's so much to talk about, and I guess it's a good thing that people are calling in to talk. It's better than not anybody talking, and I could probably go on for hours about what we do, but I just think it's important to discuss specifically in the union space or the work space in general. It's coming from an addict that was employed and had awesome things happening. My biggest fear was that I was going to lose my job, and I didn't want to go to human resources. I didn't want to admit that I had something going on, whether it was because of the stigma that surrounds mental health and substance abuse, or if it was because I thought that I was going to lose my source of livelihood.
Hey, wait, Matt, hold on. Back up for a second.
Sure.
Did you just say that you used to be an addict? Did I hear you right, or did I mishear that?
Yeah, so I'm in recovery. I've been clean and sober for approximately 4 years.
Okay. So you're speaking from experience, and yet you're in this business. Man, that's great.
Absolutely. And I think that helps with us at Midwest Recovery Center. A lot of our staff, whether it's, you know, medical, clinical, outreach, or just kind of on the grounds every single day with the clients, we've lived it before. So we know what it's like.
Right.
And we utilize that approach to, I guess, pass on information to individuals like you so that hopefully the experience that we've had can make sure nobody else has to go down the road that we've gone down.
Exactly. So how do you help unions and get with this program? How does it work?
Well, I mean, we want to help anybody that's seeking treatment, and whether that's with us or if that's with somebody else, when people say that they want help with something in the behavioral health realm, we have to be able to say yes right away.
Okay.
Unions are huge. There's a lot of people, and they have family members that sometimes are covered under their plans as well, but you know, we want to make sure that this individual gets exactly what they need for as long as they need it in terms of care, so that when they do go back to work, because that's the goal. The goal is to go back to work, to go home, to be with your family again, and have a life and have a normal life and never have to go to treatment again. You know, one of the biggest things that I see, especially with union workers, but with anybody that has employment in general, is rushing the treatment process and trying to get it done in 7 days or to try to get it done in 28 days.
Wow.
And a lot of times it's not the drugs and the alcohol that are the issue. It's the underlying trauma and the underlying, I guess, attitude, behaviors, thought processes that truly take time in order to change. So, you know, it's cost effective. Even if, you know, for a company to pay overtime, it's cheaper to do that for, you know, 30, 60, 90 days than it is to have somebody going in and out of treatment 3, 4, 5 times over the course of a couple of years. So my biggest piece of advice for any sort of union is make sure that person has the ability to go take as much time as they need to go seek treatment and truly get better.
Okay, so with your program, it's for everybody. But if, you know, if unions can jump on board and recommend you to their members.
Absolutely. And again, whether that's with us or if it's with somebody else, we're going to make sure that, you know, the right employee assistance program is put in place for the right group. And if someone is not fit for our program, we'd be doing them a disservice by even taking them in. So the relationships that we have across the country are vast, and navigating that system is a difficult thing to do. Understanding insurance benefits, understanding what the difference between mental health and substance abuse is, understanding accreditation and what levels of care an individual actually needs, and most importantly, finding a good facility, because there's a ton of them nowadays. This is this is kind of a trending topic with specifically opiates. And a lot of, we just talked about, or I heard the individual talking about it last time, corporations pop up for profit. That's
right.
What companies are supposed to do.
Right.
Unfortunately,
right.
With this, we need to make sure that the treatment center that the unions are working with are here not just for profit. They're here to get people better and make sure that they're taking care of your union. They're taking care of your members so that when they come home, they're going to stay home.
Now, for opioids, how long is the average length of the program that you have for somebody that's addicted to opioids?
So I'll say that, you know, there's no two treatment plans that are ever going to be the same.
Good.
The individual's
okay.
reasons for coming to treatment are always different. Therefore, the solution for each individual has to be different.
Okay.
To ballpark summarize it, detox is always 7 days. So the medical component of getting the drugs out of the system, it's typically about 7 days. The biggest goal for detox level of care is, again, just to keep the individual comfortable enough while those drugs are exiting the system. And we're not just talking about opiates. We're talking about alcohol. We're talking about benzodiazepines, any sort of medication that requires a medical detox. So 7 days, and then after the 7 days is really when the deep invasive clinical programming comes in with psychiatric evaluations, clinical therapists, things of that nature, really learning about why the individual started to do what they did in the first place. More importantly, how we can make sure that we never go back to those behaviors. So, and that part can be anywhere from, you know, 28 days all the way up to 6 months.
Wow. And I'm sitting here looking at a file here, and it's saying that this epidemic is killing 130 people each day.
130 people a day. It's a sad number to think about. You know, it's
now is most of that prescription, or is it just have they had it broken down like prescription or street drugs or?
So those are opiate related overdoses. That could be any sort of opioid. So, you know, prescription pain pills. Or the synthetic medications, I guess, or synthetic drugs that are being pushed into the streets nowadays. I will say that if somebody is using like a heroin or a fentanyl or something like that, where they're purchasing it off the streets to snort it or to inject it intravenously, 85 to 90% of those individuals that are doing that did start with a legitimate prescription pain pill that was given to them from a doctor. And then people just don't know how quickly you can become addicted to these pain pills and how, I guess, physically demanding the tolerance component is that when you take this, even as prescribed for a week or 2 weeks, and then you stop, your body has to have it in order to function.
Absolutely.
And that's why individuals are saying, you know what, pills are hard to find, they're expensive, my prescription ran out, I'm going to switch to heroin. And you see it all too often nowadays, and it's resulting in 130 people a day.
Yeah.
You know, it's important to know that union members, a lot of times they're doing hard work, physical labor, where that does result in injuries. So, you know, it's just important that lines of work like unions that are out there, you know, sometimes getting hurt. If this is part of your business or your company, have the infrastructure set in place with your human resources or with your EAP to say, you know what, I've been to this treatment center. I know exactly what they do. I know what their psychiatrists have done in the community. I know how long they've been in practice. I know what kind of accreditations they have. I know what kind of insurance they accept. I've stepped foot in here, and I've looked at it, and I feel that this is a good place. Don't just look at the closest place down the street from where, you know, the plant is at or whatever it is. Find a place that fits your guys' program.
That sounds good, Matt. I'm actually glad to hear you say and speak of EAP. I'm part of our joint EAP committee with the Postal Service. We have a tripartite group that comes together on the committee, the management there, and the two unions. it's very important that EAP is involved to try and assist people when they come to them. So I'm glad to hear that you guys do partner with EAP in regards to help people that may need to send someone or help send someone.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's something that we do, and we're happy to do that. And we'll even have our human resources or our labor law attorneys come help you set that up. So whether that means changing employee manuals or changing drug-free workplace policies or self-admittance policies or drug testing policies, we want to really start thinking about all this stuff, because whether or not we think it applies to us, it's 2019, almost 2020, and addiction, mental health. Again, it doesn't always have to manifest itself in opiates. This is something that we want to make sure that our members, A, trust us enough that when there is an issue, they can come to us. They can come talk to that EAP manager or that human resources manager. That level of trust is there, that there's not going to be judgment. It's not going to affect their job. And they can come talk to whoever it is that they need to talk to. And then when they do that, that individual has enough wherewithal and knowledge and information about where are we going to call, who do we know that we know for a fact does this better than anybody else, to make sure that this employee gets in good hands and we're going to get him or her back, you know, and make sure that they never have to leave again.
So what are the demographics that's hit the hardest with this?
Oh, gosh. I mean, mostly we're seeing young white males. That's who we're seeing the most who admit into treatment. But I will tell you that I hate saying that, because it hits everybody. It truly does. I've seen 13-year-old individuals addicted to opiates, and I've seen someone all the way up to the age of 87 addicted to opiates.
Wow.
I've seen every single type of religion, every single race, anything that you can think of. It happens to everybody. And this is not a thing about bad people. This is not you're bad and you need to become good. It needs to be viewed as you're sick and you need true treatment in order to become well. You know, the World Health Organization, the American Medical Association, Diagnostic and Statistical Manual classify chemical dependency as a disease. And we can't argue with that. Again, it's, yes, maybe some poor choices is what caused it to start. But after a certain amount of those poor choices, the brain changes, the chemistry changes, the way that the body and mind function in order to, you know, be a quote-unquote normal individual on a daily basis. It's a requirement to go out and seek that substance. And, you know, that's when the disease component really takes over. We need to understand that, to understand the disease of addiction, really understand what the problem is before we can start, trusting in a solution.
Now, you know what? How does the alcohol-related deaths compare to this?
So, it's a great question. Alcohol is actually, I don't know what the numbers are, but alcohol kills more people in the United States of America than any other substance. And alcohol
really?
Is actually the only drug, because alcohol is a drug. We hear individuals all too often say, drugs and alcohol. And I can't stand that, because alcohol is a drug.
Yes.
And it's sad that our society doesn't view it as such. There's plenty of people that can handle it and drink responsibly, but there's even more people that can't. Alcohol is the only drug that affects every single organ in the body. Every single organ.
Wow.
Alcohol is also one of the only drugs that you can die from withdrawing from.
Yeah.
If you're drinking alcohol too much and you do not seek medical detox, there's a lot of things that can happen, including seizure, that can result in death. Now, with opiates, you feel like you're going to die. It's an extremely uncomfortable withdrawal process, but there's actually no risk of death. But with alcohol, there is. So, and benzodiazepines as well. So that just reinforces my point that when someone is struggling with something, we can't fix this by saying, you know what, if you just quit, you'll keep your job. Or, you know what, I'm going to try to take care of this on the couch at home and just take a couple days off and fix this. And
right. This
is, you have to go to treatment. You have to, and it's okay to ask for help.
And that's important to say, Matt. Also, could you touch on the facts of how many people actually commit suicide behind this alcoholism and the drug abuse? Because that's an important piece, too, to talk about.
it's an extreme important piece, and I don't, you know, not just suicide, but just speaking in sort of a blanket statement with mental health. You know, it's I've been at that point in my addiction where maybe I thought that the only way out was to maybe take that irreversible action because I didn't know that it was possible. I'd failed so many times and I didn't want to hurt people. I was tired of letting people down. So yeah. I did contemplate it before. And, you know, that's a very real thing. I see it a lot nowadays. You hear about it every single day in the news. You know, it's sad. And it's that decision that unfortunately you can never come back from. Mental health is something that, you know, we kind of classify with SUD, which is substance use disorder. But I would say 9 times out of 10, there's some sort of co-occurring mental health diagnosis with the substance use disorder diagnosis. It's not very often where we see somebody coming in that is just struggling with opiates or just struggling with alcohol. A lot of times it's dual substance, but there is also a mental health, not primary diagnosis, but a secondary diagnosis, whether it's depression or anxiety or PTSD, whatever it might be that has not been addressed. And unless both of them are really taken care of, the mental health and the substance use, unless they're both taken care of, we're spinning our wheels in the mud and it's not gonna go away. So that just goes to reinforce again what I was talking about with make sure you're going to the right EAP connection. Make sure that they are certified to treat mental health and substance use. Make sure that they have the right staff to treat those modalities for PTSD or EMDR or whatever it might be. But really look into making sure that your members are going to be taken care of.
Now, how do they even start to get into your program? How does that work?
Well, it's a simple phone call. We want to make sure that when somebody reaches out for help, the turnaround time has to be quick because individuals a lot of times will change their mind. So when somebody calls us, we basically do what's called a verification of benefits to figure out where they can go. Or maybe
okay.
They don't have benefits.
Before you go on, can you give that number out?
Absolutely.
Go ahead, give it out.
Recovery Center's phone number?
Yes.
It's 866-203-0308.
Can you do that? Can you do that again, my brother?
Yep. Midwest Recovery Center's 24/7 phone line is 866-203-0308.
Okay.
It doesn't matter where you're at in the country. It doesn't matter what time of the day it is. We have connections and relationships throughout the country, and we only work with places that we'd be proud to send our own families to. But 24/7, if you're struggling, call. We want to make that, you know, there's a couple steps that go into it. Just we do a quick, I guess, pre-screen is what it's called, to figure out exactly what's going on and where you need to go.
How long is the pre-screen?
Pre-screen takes about maybe 10 minutes.
Oh, okay. They can do it in a visit. Okay.
Yep, it's basic questions about what sort of coverage do you have, and if you don't have coverage, that's okay too. There's plenty of resources out there for individuals that, you know, don't have some sort of health insurance. And if you do, the next question part of the pre-screen is, you know, kind of what are you using, what's going on, what's the precipitating event, are you employed, how long have you been using, have you been to treatment before, et cetera, and gathering a basic snapshot of what this individual's life is looking like right now. Here's where we think that they would be a best fit. And then we'll leave the true admissions process up to the professionals and the clinicians at that facility.
Now, you know what, is this plan covered under FMLA?
Absolutely. So if somebody is seeking medical or psychiatric services, FMLA is something that the doctor at whatever facility they can go to can absolutely fill out. That's a big fear. That's a great question is, you know, how am I going to get paid while I'm away, or I got bills, or you know, my family needs to eat while I'm in treatment. Therefore, I don't think I can go to treatment because I didn't even know that FMLA would cover this. That's a great question. The answer is yes.
And how soon can a person get into treatment, Matt? Say, for instance, a family member is calling and trying to get someone into treatment. How soon can they get them into treatment?
They could get in right this second. So wow. Our facilities are all 24/7, and we're very, very aggressive with when somebody calls, we have to be able to say yes right now, whether that's with us or with somebody else. A lot of agencies, you know, they'll work, depending on what levels of care they offer, they'll work sort of a 9-to-5 Monday through Friday thing. But our agencies in Ohio, New Hampshire, Maryland, and Georgia all operate on a 24/7 basis. And we even offer transportation. We know that transportation is sometimes a barrier to get to treatment. So if you call at 5 o'clock in the morning and say that you want help, I'm going to find out where you're at. Tell me what address you're at, and I'm going to have somebody, help with transportation.
That sounds great. So let me ask another question. So with the transportation, is there a clinician or someone who will come out, say, for instance, for someone who may be dealing with an alcohol addiction, who in the heat of the moment when things are going wrong, they're always willing to say, I'm going to go seek treatment, and their spouse or and family are trying to get them to go, and then a day or so go past and they change their mind, but they're right on the brink of getting that help, but every time they sabotage themselves. Is there someone that can come out and kind of assist and help them understand that there's no turning back? We can help you.
Absolutely. So the answer for us specifically is yes and no. So we work with certified interventionists that we can. It might not be right away as quick as our drivers can get there, because we have a lot of drivers on call 24/7. But in terms of an interventionist getting out there, we can get them there. It just might not be right at that moment or as quick as we can get a driver there. If it's in close proximity to where our treatment centers are, we do send our clinicians out into the field on a regular basis. So if it was relatively close to where one of our treatment centers are, that's something that we could make happen relatively quickly.
Now, what about if their insurance, they had insurance, they go through the program and the insurance runs out? Are they just like, do you try to rush the program to match their insurance?
We would never do that. So our treatment center is set up to basically be able to accept individuals that don't have coverage, regardless of if that's Medicaid or whatever coverage they have. If it does term or lapse, we have 20% of our beds are available at all times to accommodate individuals that don't have insurance, whether that's because they came in and their plan lapsed, or it's because they didn't even have insurance to begin with.
Hey,
so
Matt,
we got
a break for a commercial. We got to pay the bills. But hold on,
of course,
because we want to finish this conversation. So stay tuned. Okay. Union Members Radio will be right back.
If you're drowning in IRS debt and can't afford to pay, then you need to take advantage of special IRS tax programs that are available and free yourself from IRS collection efforts once and for all. Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing throughout the country, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle delinquent tax problems. An open phone line has been established by Community Tax for consumers to call and see if they qualify. Take down this number or store it in your cell phone, but call the Community Tax Helpline at 800-500-5588. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and cannot afford to pay them back, or even if you have years of unfiled tax returns, there's no need to fear anymore. But you have to call the Community Tax Helpline today at 800-500-5588 for the help that you need. Don't take on the IRS alone. They can attack your wages, savings, pension, home, and even your Social Security check. Call 800-500-5588 for your free consultation and to see if you qualify. That's 800-500-5588.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. I'm a better neighbor because my service has taught me how important it is to be a team player. My training helps me in my classes when I give attention to detail to the task at hand. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Michigan Army National Guard. Aired by the Michigan Association of Broadcasters and this station.
This is Keith Palms, co-host of Union Radio. Give us a call, 1-800-923-9385. We were on the line with Matt. Matt, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All All right. Good to have you back, Matt. And we apologize. We had to pay the bills, as James said. So we are back with Matt now and my co-host, Dennis James, as well.
Hey, hey, hey. Hey, and we was talking about the insurance running out. And you guys said you would never pick somebody out because of that. So, and that the patient is first in your program.
Patient always has to come first, and they always will. And that's how we've gotten to where we're at today, is because we operate with that ideal first and foremost. Of course, we have to pay the bills, just like you said. We have to do what we have to do to make sure that, you know, funds are coming in so that we can pay the best doctors in the area and have the nice facilities that we have. But it's not about that first and foremost, and it never will be. There's just, in summary, there's no way that we could ever do that. That would be the biggest disservice to any client coming in, regardless of where they're at in their treatment process. When we develop a master treatment plan upon admission, that treatment plan is stuck to. It's never varied from our end as the provider. We can't always, it's a voluntary program. So if the individual decides to leave before it's over with, that's something that, you know, we do see, and we can't force anybody to stay.
Yeah, that's a different story.
Right. If you know, whatever it was, we would never vary from that master treatment plan, unless it was for, like, clinical reasons. Most often, which would result in actually lengthening the stay. So just because somebody's benefits run out, we never have and we never will kick somebody to the streets.
So let's do this. Before we let you go, let's get that number again. And if you got a webpage, Facebook, you know, because everybody advertised differently. What's that number again for everybody?
Absolutely. Midwest Recovery Center's phone number is 866-203-0308. Again, that's a 24/7 line. Even if you have questions about treatment in general, or if you'd like to know more about EAP resources or how to find a good EAP resource, call us. We're happy to help, not just with the admissions process, but just questions about this sort of stuff. And the website is MidwestRecoveryCenter.com.
And say that number one more time, my brother, because somebody's paying in right.
Absolutely. It's 866-203-0308.
And that website again is?
MidwestRecoveryCenter.com.
Hey, Matt Bell, thank you very much for calling the show and giving us all this valuable information. And we are looking forward to hearing from you in the near future and doing some more projects with you.
Anytime, guys. Let me know. I appreciate it. And thank you for the opportunity.
Hey, thank you, man. Have a good one. Take care, my brother.
A lot of good information. Thank you for calling, Matt.
You too. Bye-bye.
Man, Keith, that was pretty cool, the fact that you can call that number. The one thing I liked about them is the question I asked about getting kicked out. Because, you know, once the insurance runs out, places like to kind of give you the boop out the door.
Absolutely.
You know, so that's cool. Because keep in mind, you're battling an addiction. And the last thing you really need is to be getting put out.
Absolutely. And you're looking for someone to help. And
right.
When you don't get what you actually need, or you get all the red tape in getting there, then that's a negative for these people as well,
right,
who are seeking medical treatment. That they don't need that. They need help. And no matter what, and that's what scares me the most of what we've been seeing in this country lately. All the hate, all the not treating people the way they want to be treated. You know,
you mean that, about crack? When the crack epidemic was out,
yeah,
and it wasn't an epidemic; it was just people being just crackheads.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that when certain things attack certain people, things are done better.
Yes, it's done a tad bit better.
Yeah,
you know. So, I mean, that's something, and that's a whole nother discussion.
That's a whole nother discussion, and you know, we're not here to go into that today. You know, and I'm for helping everyone. You know,
right.
Let's just get it done. And let's move away from all the red tape that stops it.
And, you know, it amazes me how bad alcohol is still. I mean, alcohol is still, like, the worst. He said it attacks every part of your body.
And I didn't know it. I knew it was a killer. I didn't know it killed more people than drugs.
That's what I didn't know either.
Yeah.
So I was kind of like, ugh, that's the one thing that everybody goes and drinks.
Yeah, so. I think we all know somebody that is suffering from alcoholism, and we know somebody who's suffering from drug abuse as well. And it's nice to know that there's people out there that can and will help.
But, you know, alcohol is something that is easy to get. You can go to any place and get it.
It's legal.
It's legal. And, you know.
People are able to, in some cases, function at work and at home.
Right.
The unfortunate thing, it does hurt people and their families.
Well, you know what? The cool thing is we're coming up on our second hour, and we got Erica White from CWA that's going to be calling in talking about underemployment in our next hour. Underemployment. That is going to be pretty interesting because a lot of people look at the unemployment rate, but they never look at underemployment. So anyway, this is the end of the first hour of Union Members Radio. Please stay tuned for the next hour of Union Members Radio. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hey, I will stand my ground, and I won't back down. No, I won't back down.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.